Okay, so Parshas B'Shalach is actually, it begins in a very strange way. Like, just to go through the Psukim without the Rashis first, just to see what's going on. So Paro, at the time that Paro is sending the nation out, V'lo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim ki karovu. God does not nacham elokim, that word nacham is going to be hard to translate. The article says God did not lead them through plishtim because it was too close. That's hard to understand also, right? If it's close, you'd think that's how you should go. Ki amar elokim, because God said, pengi nachem ha'amber osam mochama v'shavu mitzrayim, but maybe the people will have second thoughts, they'll reconsider when they see war, and they'll go back to Egypt. So the word nacham and the word yinachem are really very similar, but apparently they don't really mean the same thing, right? V'lo nacham elokim, that what, God did not reconsider? Like, that doesn't really flow. So it's hard to understand what's going on. We'll come back to it in a minute. Then the Torah says that God took them, Derech HaMidbar Yamsuf, He takes them through the desert to the Yamsuf, to the Sea of Reeds. The Sea of Reeds, by the way, became known as the Red Sea. It's not really red, right? It's Yamsuf is a Sea of Reeds. How come we now refer to it as the Red Sea? I think there was like some mistake on the map maker at some point. I think that's what happened. So God takes them, Derech HaMidbar, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, and the people are armed when they leave Egypt. That's the way it's translated, although that word V'chamushim is also a hard word to translate. Right? So Moshe takes Yosef's bones, because Yosef made B'nai Yisrael swear that God will redeem you and you should take my bones out. They leave Sukkos, they go to Esam, and Hashem Hashem leads them during the day with a cloud, and at night He leads them with fire to go during the day and night, and the fire and the cloud never, there's no time when you don't have fire or cloud, they're never absent. So if I read these psukim, there is nothing coherent here, right? Doesn't it seem like each pasuk is disjointed? Like, what's the flow? What's the narrative of all these psukim? Right, that, I think, is a question that we should address. Just like, there has to be some flow. So Rashi's take on the situation, I think, is as follows. Rashi is going to learn all these psukim as a single unit, that God does not want them to go the way of Eretz Plishtim because it's too close and therefore they might turn around. Therefore, what God does is He takes them a circuitous route, and because they're going a circuitous route through the desert, so they have to be armed. If they would take the straightest route, right? Now, armed might not mean armed. Armed might mean supplied. If you travel through civilization, you don't need to carry all your supplies with you. But precisely because they're going in this circuitous route, so that's why, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Now, this next pasuk, Vayikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef Imo, I don't know how this fits exactly. My guess is that the Torah is making some contrast between what all the people are carrying and what Moshe is carrying. Although everyone else is carrying Chamushim, which maybe means weapons, Rashi will say, Moshe is carrying Yosef's bones. And that contrast might be in the sense of the real weapon that Klal Yisrael had was not the weapons, but it's the bones of Yosef. That might be what the Torah is getting at. And part of the lesson over here is that because God is leading them, Right? So really what's protecting them is this divine presence as reflected in Yosef's bone rather than the plain weapons that they have. And then the Torah tells us about the way this trip went. They go from Sukkos to Esam, right? That's where they're going. And the way they are traveling is guided by God. Meaning, if they would go on their own, they would never go this route. But because they're led by the cloud and the fire, that's why they go this route. So I would put this all together as how come there's an unusual route? The answer is because God is leading them. And you get the impression that the Jewish people are taking the weapons with them when they leave because they don't realize that the protection of God will take them. But Moshe has Yosef's bones, which somehow reflects the protection. That is the way I'd assume we can put the whole thing together. But quite honestly, I'm bothered by just how disjointed this section is. I mean, like, we're missing transitions. Okay, so that's section one in the parasha. If I pause on a few Rashis over here, let's do the first Rashi of the parasha. Maybe we'll just like point out a few things that Rashi says, and then move on to the next section if we have time. So Rashi writes, "Bishalach parav lo nacham." Rashi translates the word nacham as lo nohagam. Kimo lech nechei asa'am. In other words, God did not lead them. And he quotes two psukim, lech nechei asa'am, and behisalechecha tanche osach. The word nechei, or nachem, is related to nechei. That means that for Rashi, the mem in nachem is a suffix. Nacha osam. God did not lead them. Right? We could have learned that Velo Nacham Elokim might be related to Pen Yinachem Ha'am, right? That God did not regret taking the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, despite the fact that God was worried that they might turn back. No? The word ki is not always because in Hebrew. No? Ki means for lashonos, the Gemara says at the end of Gittin. Ki misham shdal lashonos, ol doma ella and daha. Ella might mean despite. Despite the fact that God knew that the Jewish people might not be happy with leaving, God did not regret taking the Jewish people out. We could have learned the pasuk this way, but Rashi is rejecting that.
How would you make sense of the rest of the book?
So God did not. Oh, in other words,
it doesn't mean leave. It means
God did not regret taking them out, and God took them through the plishtim.
So there's a missing word.
Right, there's a missing word. Right, we would need to add, and God led them. So maybe that's why Rashi doesn't like this approach. Perhaps. But there's a third approach that we could have said, that the word nacham maybe comes from the word minucha. No? God did not let the Jewish people rest. Velo nacham Elokim. God did not give them menucha. God could have, right, allowed us to have a relaxing trip, but that didn't happen. Now again, the words derech eretz plishtim, right, don't really follow, and no matter what, these words, derech eretz plishtim, are somewhat difficult. Rashi learns, ki karofu, that they could go back easily. Right? God did not lead them derech eretz plishtim ki karofu. Right? So Rashi learns that it's easy to return. Now, the Ramban asks on Rashi that if Rashi is correct, so really what the Torah should say is ki amar Elokim pen yinachem ha'amber osam milchama ki karovu or something, right? Ki karovu is that because it is so close by, maybe when they see war, they'd jump back. Basically, I don't know how to read these psukim. It's not so simple, no? Okay, so that's the first point. Now, Rashi over here also has some comments that there are...
strange that later on it says, Paro says, Nebuchim Haim Bamidbar.
Right.
And then that causes him to chase after them. I mean, the object is to avoid war and frightening the people. So, rather than the fact that Sagale Bamidbar... is what incites
that, but the interesting thing is, and this is something I just realized today when I was preparing, the Torah makes a point of saying that Hashem hardens Paro's heart again. Right? That's like Pasuk Dalet v'chizakti a slave Paro v'rodaf acharehem. Right? V'yichazik Hashem a slave Paro Pasuk Ches and he chases Bnei Yisrael. It made no sense for Paro to chase the Jewish people. Because, come on, give up already. Push comes to shove, you see they're free, right? Just give up. But Hashem, so to speak, is like enticing Paro to chase after them and not to give up.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Like I never realized until today that Hashem's hardening of Paro's heart continues after Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right. But what confused me a little bit is which war would wage war?
Yeah. So Rashi writes that the war that we're talking about is the war of Amalek and Sichon and Og. Right. Now, the simple meaning of the pasuk might be that you'd expect the Plishtim to have started a war. Right? But Rashi is saying that if there would be an attack from Amalek, and they would be so close by... Yeah. Again, it's really... Now, by the way, Rashi's comment over here at the end of... In Pasuk Yud Zayin, right at the beginning, Rashi writes in one place, here, Ki Karofu. So Rashi writes, Midrashe Agada Yesh Harve. There are many different Midrashim. If you read the Midrash in Shmos Rabbah, Perek Chaf, so the Midrash gives all these other explanations of Nacham. Right? The explanation of... The explanation of Nachum that Hashem did not regret it. That's a midrashic explanation. Right? There's other explanations. Is that Lo Nachum Elokim, that God did not regret taking the Jewish people out, in the sense of usually the slave cares for the master. No? But Hashem cares for us. The master cares for the slave. And even so, God didn't regret taking us out. That's another midrashic explanation. The midrash is basically playing off of all the other translations of Lo Nacham. And Rashi, and there's like 10 different midrashim that just keep on coming. And Rashi is rejecting all of them. Now, the Chazon Ish, by the way, asks a very strong kash on this entire parasha. Right? Hashem is basically saying in this parasha that really we should have gone through Plishti territory to get straight to Eretz Yisrael. Plishti territory basically means you leave Egypt and you go up through Gaza.
Right.
Right? You just take a little tunnel or something and you end up, right? That's the shortest way. Now, instead, we went through the desert, went through the whole Sinai desert, right? So basically, we're going from Egypt around and up.
Right.
Now, the Chazon Ish asks, he says, I don't understand. They had to go through the Sinai desert because Moshe Rabbeinu was told that the burning bush, Ta'avdunas Halokim al Har Harzeh, right? That you have to go through Har Sinai to receive the Torah. That's where we're going to serve Hashem. And yet, this does not make it to the parasha. Right? So I thought that's really a thought-provoking question. Right? It sounds like the only reason we don't go is because we might have
run back.
Unless, I was thinking, the ideas are similar. You see, until Har Sinai, we are not firmly established as Hashem's people. Until that point, we could have backed out. It could have been that the Har Sinai experience would have been after we entered Eretz Yisrael, and then maybe we would have given it back. Right? We would have gone back to Mitzrayim at the first sight of war. Maybe Har Sinai would have come later. Right? Even though the Torah writes, when they leave Mitzrayim, it might not mean exactly when they leave. It might have been sometime later. So Hashem does, Hashem takes us this way so that we'll be mekabel the Torah, and therefore, we can't back out. Because Kabbalah's HaTorah is that experience of Kafalein Har Kegigis, when we're sort of forced to accept Hashem's sovereignty. I don't know. But I think that question is still a strong question. Now, the word Vachamushim is interpreted two ways, no? In Rashi. The first explanation of Vachamushin is Mizuyanim.
Armed.
Now, it could be that they're armed because they might have wars to fight. And in fact, Rashi later on comments like, you know, Klal Yisrael has weapons when they fight Amalek, etc. Where they get the weapons? From here. But I don't know if Amalek was part of the original divine plan. So why did we need the weapons? Right? In the original plan, I don't know if we would have had Amalek, right? Rashi comments Al HaTorah Vayavo Amalek because we cheated in business.
I thought it's because we asked, is there God in our midst?
Well, that's one explanation, that we ask, is God in our midst? Another explanation is that the Parsha Amalek comes right after the Parsha Midos and Mishkolos in the Torah, because we're not honest, that's why Amalek attacks. But it doesn't sound like Amalek is part of the original plan, right? There's Amalek in it's in the end of Kisavo, and there's also Amalek at the end of this week's parasha. No? There's Amalek at the end of B'Shalach. V'yav Amalek v'yalachim em Yisrael b'refidim. Right, so Rashi over here quotes, because they ask Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin, whether Hashem is with us. That's why Amalek attacked. Other explanations in Chazal's Refidim is because we were lax in Torah. Right, and then at the end of Kisavo, we see that Amalek is coming the end of Kisetze, right? So Rashi over there comments, right? It's Rashi on page 1066. Zachar Sasher Asa Lucha Amalek. Zachar Rashi Mshakarta B'midos U'Mishkolos. Then you have to worry that Amalek is going to attack. If you lie about weights and measures, because the previous psukim in Ki Seitze are about the weights and measures, no? So Rashi says Amalek is coming because you cheated in business. So Amalek is not part of the original plan. And Amalek is the way that we know that we have weapons. Right? Look at Rashi later on over here. Shelo titama, it's like three lines to the bottom on 366. B'muchamas Amalek, u'b'muchas sichon va'og, mehechon ha'ilam klei zayin. Where did they have the weapons from? The answer is Hashem sent them out with weapons. But it's a little difficult because it's not part of the original plan. So I get the impression that weapons can serve two purposes, no? Mashallah Davradome, you do a 21-gun salute sometimes. Weapons are a sign of victory. Right? The pasuk at the right before Shani says, Bnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Rama. We leave with our hands up. You know what that meant? That means that we're carrying our guns, holding it up as a sign we are victors. We're not these schleppers who are just running out of Egypt. We are, right? We're victors. We're leaving with a lot of pride. So again, so Rashi on Vachamushim first says Vachamushim means armed, but I don't know if we intended on using those weapons originally. It's just the way things turned out, we had to use those weapons. It was supposed to be a symbol. Then Rashi has the comment that because we ended up going through the desert, that's why we needed weapons. You get an impression from there that the weapons were supposed to be utilitarian. Supposed to use them. Because we have to go through the desert, so we need weapons, we need supplies. Had we gone through Plishtim, we would have gone through civilization, straight up through Gaza City. Right? That's the Rashi in the brackets. Lefishe si basan Bamidbar, Garam Lahem Sha'alu Chamushim, because they went through the desert, that's why we had to leave with weapons. Ilo Hayadarch Yishuv, Lohayim Chumashim Lahem, Komashet Srichim, El Ka'adam Sha'ova, Mimakulamakum, but I had to lick no Sham, Mashiat Tarech. Had we gone through the Plishtim land, we're like people who are traveling. So wherever I get, I'll buy what I need.
It's kind of strange because the whole reason is they're fearful of war. And here he's saying you're armed because you bring them into a situation where you require arms.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. In other words, my guess is that the weapons weren't originally intended they didn't intend on using them in war, and they would have been scared. With the weapons, they would have run back. Right? Perhaps. Had they gone derech plishtim, they would have, even though they had weapons, they would have gone back. Or maybe had they gone derech plishtim, they wouldn't have had weapons. Maybe that's the point that Rashi is getting at. Had they gone derech eretz plishtim, right? That's probably what Rashi means. Had they gone derech eretz plishtim, they would not have, right? They would not have had weapons. Then Rashi at the very end, davar acher, it's like the top of the second column. Chamushim means echad mechamisha yatsu, and 4/5 of the people died in Choshech. Right? So vachamushim means only 1/5 of the Jews left. 4/5 of the Jews died in Choshech. 4/5 were not good Jews, and they had to die. So I saw in a sefer this afternoon, the Mir Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Elia Baruch Finkel, he makes the following comment. If you look at Pasuk Vav and Zayin, it says that Paro took 600 choice chariots to chase after Bnei Yisrael, right? Vaikach shesh meyos rechav bachur. 600 choice chariots. Now, where is that number 600 from? Why 600? So he said, he does a little bit of math. Ready?
Yes.
The pasuk says, Echa in the tochecha, that if we sin, Echad yerdof, echad mikem elef, ushnayim yonisu rivava. Right? So, echad mikem elef. One will chase 1,000. So, Paro feels it's like a tochecha time. And therefore, one will chase 1,000. So, if you have 600 chariots, 600 choice chariots, that will chase 600,000 people. 1 to 1,000, right? So far, so good. But then, what about Ushnayim Yonisu Rivava? Ushnayim Yonisu Rivava means that 2 will pursue 10,000. If 2 are pursuing 10,000, that means that 1 pursues 5,000. So how do you have a 1 to 5,000 ratio if, right, there's only 600 chariots? So this fellow, the Mir Rosh Hashiva, does the math as follows. He says, if 4/5 of the Jews died, so that means it wasn't supposed to be 600,000 Jews. It's supposed to be
3 million,
right? So with 3 million Jews, how many in a 1 to 5,000 ratio? What's 3 million divided by 5,000? 600. That I thought was really sharp. I thought that was like a very sharp idea, that that's the notion of the 600 chariot.
Now, the missing forfeit, they weren't zocher to leave, or they didn't want to leave?
So you get an impression that because they were Rasha'im, mm-hmm. Hashem didn't allow them to leave. I mean, it's really hard to understand. I've been bothered by this for many years. You know, Chazal say that the Jewish people were like at the 49th level of Tumah, mm-hmm. and God had to like take us out, and we had like nothing going for us, really. So how much worse could these other 4/5 have been? Right? And by the way, and Hashem had to give us a mitzvah so that we had a zechus to get out of Mitzrayim. That's why he had to have Karban Pesach. Right? In other words, everyone's over avodah zarah anyway. So how much worse could those other 4/5 had been? That's really...
Maybe it's not that they were worse, they were more cowardly. So God killed them under cover of darkness so as not to demoralize the remaining 5th.
In other words, you're saying that you're kind of combining the two explanations of Chamushim. Mm-hmm. Chamushim in the sense of 1/5 and in the sense of armed. It was only 1/5 of the people who were... had the courage.
Like in America today, if somebody would announce, you know, we all go to Israel, most of the assimilated Jews wouldn't want to come.
Right. Most of the Orthodox Jews wouldn't want to come.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know. I've been bothered by this question for a while. Like, how bad, those 4/5 of the Jews who died in Choshech, like, how bad were they? I don't know.
But the fact that they had to be killed in darkness rather than, clearly the effect on the remaining Jews was considered.
Correct. And I'll ask the question a different way. Among the 1/5 who got out,
yes.
You have Dasan and Aviram and the Erev Rav.
Right.
Right? So, like, what's going on here? I don't know. Maybe I'll ask Rav Schechter this question. And some. It's just like, it bothers me. If you find an answer to it, I'd be appreciative. Okay. Again, the Torah then goes on about how they camp near Baal Tzephon. Baal Tzephon is like the one remaining idol. And the Egyptians felt this idol will protect them. And the whole idea is that even Baal Tzephon is not going to protect the Egyptians, and they'll go free anyway. They'll go free anyway. And that's the idea of right, doing the lasting and the final damage to the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians. Again, obviously there is much more to say, but these are just like some thoughts that I had, and we could go on. Yes, Hashem. Okay.
One question about last week, the previous things. Say, I think you had mentioned that was the Avodah Zarah.
The sheep, yeah.
First of all, what does it mean with the Avodah Zarah? Do you mean that they thought the sheep created the universe? Or was it like a hallowed animal, like the cows in India?
So, it's hard to know.
Because
the thing about Egypt is like almost everything was their Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, because I read up some Egyptology. They don't mention, I mean, other
yeah.
than...
They don't mention sheep.
They worship the crocodile, they worship, you know...
They worship the sun.
The sun, the Apis, the internet, the Aftara, there's this bull, A-P-I-S.
What is that?
Some sort of sacred bull. Nobody mentions that they worship the sheep.
Now, so again, I don't know what a sacred bull is. I mean, we know that the Pasuk says earlier, Ki lo yochlon ha-mitzrim lechos ha-ivrim lechem, ki toev ahi le-mitzrayim, that they couldn't eat with us.
Right.
And it's very hard to like. And the Makos are supposed to attack the Mitzrim's gods,
right?
Right.
But I looked. Nobody mentions that.
And what's interesting is that, you know, Egyptian society was obsessed with death, no?
Yes.
The pyramids were burial places of the pharaohs. Like, death is what keeps them going.
Right.
And we don't see reference to that in the Torah, do we?
No, I don't think so.
And if anything, makas b'choros, like, how do you punish a society that's obsessed with death?
Yeah, well, like the suicide follows, you know, that's what they want. So,
mostly, it's just... But, like, I wonder if there's anyone who has just, like, a good running narrative at the beginning of the parasha. That really bothers me. Rav Hirsch didn't write it. Like, he does, like, pasuk by pasuk. He doesn't, like, give... There's also a contradiction in Rashi's about when this Yam Suf was, no? You see, the way Rashi learns in Beshalach, Kriyas Yam Suf is on the seventh day of Pesach, which is why we lean Oz Yashar on the seventh day of Pesach. Right? We get the seventh day because Bnei Yisrael traveled 2 days, then they traveled back 1 day, which means they're 1 day away from Egypt, no?
Right.
And Paro apparently had sent some scouts. There's all in Rashi over here. Had sent some scouts with the Jewish people. Uh-huh. Right? V'yashuvu v'yachanu means that they went back 1 day journey. Right? So they're really only 1 day away from Egypt. And Mitzrayim had scouts with them. So scouts go back to Paro. That takes another day. That's day four. Right, and then it takes 3 days to chase up to them, to catch up to them. That's five and six. So then, of course, in Yom Tov is at seven. Right, that's the way it works out according to Rashi. The problem is that Rashi writes in Parashas Shlach that the eight strings of tzitzis represent the 8 days before Kriyas Yom Tov. Well, eight? It's only seven. Again, these are great mysteries of life.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go. Thank you.